For the sermon today, I'm going to be talking about and telling you stories that I told the kids during their vacation Bible school week. It says children's sermon because I thought someone was going to come and lead some of the kids in vacation Bible school songs, but they're not here and we don't have any of the kids who are singing them. So, you know, it all works out. So if you will please give me just a moment. Hi, I'm Ray, and I used to think that fishing was out of sight. But then I read a very important book, Don't Trust Fish. It was eye-opening. And so, I started fishing for something else. I started looking for truth and wonder. I began fishing for miracles. Now that's how, during story time, I would open with the kids every time. It's a great book, by the way, right? Telling you all kinds of things about fish that you need to be, you know, afraid of, or at least don't trust them about, all right? And so we began looking at three miracle stories of Jesus, and the first one we looked at was when Jesus and the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and we found that story in Mark chapter 4. In that story, Jesus had just finished teaching, and he wanted to go to the other side of that Sea of Galilee. And so he and the disciples, they get in a boat, they were surrounded by other boats, and they start heading across. Now, Jesus knew that his disciples had all of the skills that they needed. They had the experience that they needed. Jesus had faith in them to get across the lake. He trusted them. And so Jesus went to the back of the boat and fell asleep on a cushion. While Jesus was resting comfortably, a storm began to rise. And actually, we had the kids do the storm sounds. We started with the wind. And then it was a little bit of rain, and then the rain got louder, and then the rain got louder, and then there was thunder, and there was all kinds of wonderful things, but the storm came. Now, even though most of the disciples had spent their lives on that lake, in good weather and in bad weather and in everything in between, they were terrified. Now, I don't know if they were terrified for Jesus' sake or just for their own sake, but eventually what they did was they ran to the back of the boat and they shook Jesus awake. Now, the Bible says, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" With the kids, I said, they shook Jesus and said, "We're gonna die." That's how afraid they were. Jesus woke up, he sat up, and he said three simple words, "Peace, be still." And at that, the storm stopped. The winds, the waves, the lightning, the thunder, the rain, it all ceased and everything quiet and still. And Jesus asked the disciples, "Do you still have no faith?" Jesus had faith in them. Had they no faith in Jesus? Had they no faith in God's love? Now, I'm sure that the disciples were awed and a little intimidated by what they had just been through. Nature listens to Jesus. Storms listen to their friend, their teacher, their Lord. That's incredible. But I believe that Jesus would much rather that the disciples could see his faith in them, could understand that compassion and care are paramount. Now, it's true that Jesus does have power even over nature, but Jesus wants us to learn to care for each other, to support each other, to help each other, and not wait for a miracle. Because when we love one another, that's the miracle. And in the midst of all of the storm noises, somebody brought out a squirt bottle and was making it rain on them, and they were all squealing and all the rest of that, but we had a great good fun. Wednesday, the second miracle story, we learned about Jesus and how he healed two men who were blind. That story came from Matthew 9. I had two volunteers get up, our two blind men. I was going to call them Ralph and Fred, but they were girls, so it was Anna and Elsa. But then Elsa didn't want to be Elsa. She'd rather be her own name, Zoe. So it got a little confusing. But those two blind men in that story, they could sit, they could beg, they could talk to each other. They couldn't do much else, not without help. People had to bring them from where they were staying to where they were sitting to do their begging. People would have to take them back home, wherever that was, at the end of a day. And so Anna and Elsa knew that they needed help. They always needed help. But as they sat there talking with each other, they began to believe that Jesus' help could let them see. Because Anna and Elsa, Zoe, they must have heard stories about Jesus. They must have heard about Jesus' love and compassion. And they knew that on their own, they couldn't do much at all. And so they threw themselves on the mercy of Jesus. And that's when I told the kids that the word mercy means undeserved kindness. All of us throw ourselves on the mercy of Jesus, as did these two blind men. They threw themselves on the mercy of Jesus because I'm also sure they were surrounded by people who were trying to either blame them or their parents or someone else for the fact that they were blind. And so they heard that Jesus was coming by. They struggled to their feet and they began to follow Jesus. That had to have been awkward. Because as they were following Jesus, they were crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." So they followed Jesus crying out, and they followed Jesus into the home that he went into. And Jesus had mercy. Jesus had compassion for the two of them. He cared about them. And so Jesus asks, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And the two of them both shouted, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord." So Jesus touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done." And they saw. I don't know if you're one of us who have to wear glasses and you don't see very well. It's always great when you're at the eye doctor and they got the little phoropter machine and, you know, it's a little irritating with the 1 or 2, A or B. But when they get it and you are looking out and you can even read the bottom line, that's amazing. It's incredible. Now think about it. These guys had never seen ever. And it wasn't that Jesus sat there and said, "Okay, which is better, 1 or 2. He touched their eyes and said, "Let it be." And they saw. Jesus transformed their lives. Jesus changed their lives in mercy. These two were jubilant. They were ecstatic. They were overjoyed. And then Jesus asked, "Could you please not tell anybody about this?" And do you know what those two blind men did? They told everybody. They wouldn't keep their mouth shut. Anyone who would sit for long enough for them to tell the story, they told the story. Because they had touched by the love of God. Because the mercy of Jesus had given them new life. They would not be quiet. Because they began to understand that when we love one another, that's the miracle. And then on Thursday night, our final story was about how Jesus healed a paralytic. The story comes from Mark 2, and it shows that Jesus was first impressed by his friends, but then saddened by a group of grumblers over in the back. Jehoshaphat was paralyzed. Yes, I named him Jehoshaphat. We'll get to it. You'll understand, right? Jehoshaphat was paralyzed. He was a builder. And there was an accident. He had fallen from the roof onto a pile of materials. He couldn't walk. In fact, he couldn't move at all except for his head. I had a young man volunteer who just laid there, not able to move. And he did a great job. I think he was starting to fall asleep. But, you know, there we are. Jehoshaphat was paralyzed. Jehoshaphat's friends were sad. He was a good guy and didn't deserve what had happened to him. In fact, when his friends came to visit, Jehoshaphat wound up having to cheer them up when they stopped. It was hard. It was hard on his family. It was hard on his friends. It was hard on him. Everyone wanted better for Jehoshaphat, even though there was a group of folks in town who thought that Jehoshaphat must have been a very great sinner for this to have happened. He must have deserved it. Jehoshaphat's friend heard that Jesus was returning home. He was coming back to Capernaum, and they saw an opportunity. Jesus was loving, compassionate. Jesus did miraculous things. At least that's what they were hearing. Jesus lived and he taught about loving each other. And so they decided that they were going to pick Jehoshaphat up and carry him to Jesus. Maybe a miracle would happen. And so they picked him up, and as they neared the house, they saw the crowds. So many people, too many people. They were never going to get Jehoshaphat anywhere near Jesus. The line started blocks away, and as they were about to give up, all of them recalled that, hey, we're builders. And they decided amongst themselves that Jehoshaphat was worth anything that was going to happen. So they climbed on top of the roof of the house and they started to take it apart. They took it apart so they could lower Jehoshaphat right in front of Jesus. Imagine his surprise. There you are sitting in the living room and all of a sudden the roof is being taken apart and a man comes descending to you. But what Jesus noticed first was the faith of Jehoshaphat's friends. He noticed their love for him, their care, and their concern about their friend. But Jesus also noticed that there was a group over on one side of the room who were making faces, the grumblers, who thought that Joseph had to be a great sinner for this to happen. So when Jesus spoke, the first thing that he said to Jehoshaphat is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus wanted Jehoshaphat, his friends, and that grumbling group over there to know that sin had nothing to do with this and that Jesus could forgive sin anyway. Now, this really got the grumblers going with things like, now, who does he think he is? And only God can forgive. And that's blasphemy and all kinds of things. So Jesus asked another question. He asked that group over there, which is easier to say to this paralytic? Is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier to say, stand up, take your mat, walk? Jesus knows that they're going to think that it's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, because there's no way to know whether that happened or not. So Jesus said to Jehoshaphat, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. And Jehoshaphat stood up. He walked around. He became Jumpin' Jehoshaphat, hence the name. He became Dancin' Jehoshaphat, Runnin' Jehoshaphat. In that moment, Jesus cured him, forgave him, gave hope for his friends and for the people around him. He also showed the grumblers that God's love is amazing and powerful. And so from the faithfulness of his friends to Jehoshaphat being willing to listen to Jesus, this miracle shows us God's love. And it shows us that we, who can be paralyzed by our own sinfulness, we who are imprisoned and enslaved, unable to love or care for others on our own, Jesus looks at us and says to us, your sins are forgiven. And then Jesus tells us to stand up, to go out, to love your neighbors. And then Jesus gives us the freedom, the guidance, the help, and the strength to do just that. Because Jesus knows that when we love one another, that's the miracle. And so over 3 days in that last week, July, we spent time with 24 kids and more. We had all kinds of fun. There were music and craft. Kids got to throw water balloons at me, if you didn't see that. Reusable water balloons, the coolest thing I've ever seen, but they just kept coming and coming and coming. And I was drenched from head to toe, and it was great. We laughed together, and we learned about Jesus' love for all of us. I wanted you guys to know that. I also want us all to realize that when we love one another, that's the miracle.